You know, along that same line, I just saw a paper that got published in Lancet from the ATAC trial in breast cancer showing fewer recurrences in women who have arthralgias and vasomotor symptoms, the same kind of concept. Have we looked at blood levels? Could it just simply be pharmacokinetics?
Yeah, so for the TKIs, the oral drugs, yes, that's a major issue. So for instance, erlotinib is influenced by a few metabolic enzymes. If you continue smoking, you will have lower levels. And in fact, now there are data showing that you can increase the dose to double or even more in smokers.
Wow, if they continue smoking.
Yeah.
Wow.
There are people that do that.
That's interesting. No, yeah, but I hadn't heard that. So it increases the metabolism.
Yeah. Hmm. There are a couple of enzymes that are the same that metabolize smoke. So essentially, erlotinib gets excreted very rapidly in those patients. So then you can give much higher doses. Essentially, you treat to rash, considering rash a measure of exposure.
Do you think that that's a reasonable thing to do in a non-protocol setting right now?
No.
I think I saw a paper from you, but maybe it was some other paper on the issue of dose. And I know I had heard about some work that was being done trying pulse doses of erlotinib, like I think it was with CNS metastases. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. Actually, before I left Amsterdam about a year ago, I was running a study where we tried to increase the dose in smokers and look at kinetics and pharmacogenetics as well. So the data will come up sometimes, I hope, next ASCO.
But you present, because I see you presented that at ASCO, right?
Correct. And now we have the final data. So we can go easily up to 300, 350 in smokers.
Wow.
Yeah. So for the brain metastasis and leptomeningeal disease, the thought is that these drugs really do not cross well the blood-brain barrier. And there have been a couple of case reports where people have tried to increase the dose to obtain a higher concentration in the liquor. And then they showed that there was benefit, in fact, in doing that. And at Dana-Farber in Boston, they actually had or have still open a study really for patients with leptomeningeal disease or brain metastasis where you try to increase the dose and try to induce a response. I spoke to those people. I mean, there is something there. I'm not really very sure whether this is the way to go. Essentially, at this point, it's case reports. And there's an anecdotal thing that essentially the mutation rate in the brain seems to be different from that outside the brain.
The mutation rate?
Yeah, especially the resistant mutation, the T790M. What they say is that they do not see it in the brain. So by increasing the dose, you might be able to induce a response because there's no resistant mutation there.
We actually featured a case discussion. I even interviewed the patient, a patient of Mark Sosinski's, who actually had that treatment.
Uh-huh.
She was too sick to actually go to Boston, so they just tried it. And it wasn't like super dramatic, but it was pretty convincing that it worked in the face of clinical progression that seemed to reverse. I think her CSF improved. So I guess at this point, there are just a few cases like that out there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. It would be good to have a study, but it's a tough study. These patients are very sick.